Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with the people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. I've travelled to Wolverhampton to meet Daniela Turban, whose walking art practice includes drawing and photography, to talk to her about her year-long project, A Place to Return to. We take a walk for an hour beside a canal that runs from Wolverhampton to Stoke-on-Trent. For Daniela, this is just a short walk, as starting in May 2022, she began walking alone for 367 days through the whole of Britain, on a route that touched every county and would link up with walking artists, with the overall intention of finding out more about the country since the pandemic. Her year-long adventure apparently went without mishap, unlike our walk beside the canal. During our walk, my recorder stopped, and we were unsure when, so tried to remember what we may have already discussed. We passed through a group of men who were taking drugs and drinking alcohol, and were overtaken by another man wheeling a giant tractor tire. Inclusive industrial sounds from the neighbouring warehouses interrupted our conversation, but we were lucky that we occasionally entered tunnels in which the ambience changed significantly, and we were able to talk without raising our voices. Why so much walking, and at what pace?
Why so much walking? I think it replaced drawing. Like, I didn't really start walking until, like, 2019 or 20. I used to just spend, like, long periods of time in the studio, so, like, for about, like, 10 hours or so just drawing, and it replaced that. I think, yeah, I probably just got fed up of doing, like, really long drawings, and then I just took to walking.
Walking quite significant distances.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's been the sort of underlying reason for doing that?
So I set myself a project in 2019 to walk every square of the Ordnance Survey map and take like one photograph.
Which Ordnance Survey map?
All of Britain.
All of Britain. So yeah. How many squares is that?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure, but I calculated it would take about 60 years if I did like 100 kilometres a week. So. A lot. Yeah.
And so how much have you achieved in the...
I haven't looked back. I just keep plodding along.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what actually happened last year. You took the year off to walk through Britain.
Started in Wolverhampton, and then I made a route around the whole of Britain, touching up on every county. Yeah, I just wanted to connect with like the other walking artists.
Okay, so Wolverhampton wouldn't be the natural place for most people to start. They sort of probably go to Land's End or John O'Groats, but you chose Wolverhampton because that's where you're based.
Yeah.
So was the idea to do a kind of circuit round Britain and come back to Wolverhampton?
Yeah, so it was like a circular walk which like started and finished in Wolverhampton. See, on a map it looks more like a meandering around Britain, so it's not just like coastal, it's inland and out.
And so, in practical terms, what did you actually do? Well, you know, so tell us, what was a typical day?
So a typical day would probably be waking up at 5, writing, then setting off at, like, 8 o'clock, walking till about 5, sleeping, eating, and then repeating.
And were you carrying all your sort of camping gear on board, or were you staying and stopping off at different places?
So, I just carried everything. In the winter, I stayed with, like, more, like, hosts, but I still carried everything, so I got to connect with, like, other walking artists and just other people as well. But, so a mixture, but mostly camping.
Wow. I mean, okay, so that's pretty brave. I mean, you know, a young woman on her own, walking. How did you graduate into becoming someone who would walk through Britain? What sort of walking have you done?
Before that, I'd done, like, a couple of, like, long-distance walks. Like, the biggest one I did was to London from Wolverhampton, and that was a 5-day walk. But this was the first time that I did, like, a walking and camping, like... walk. So I just had to learn as I went.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How easy was it to plan where to stop?
I kind of just took it a day at a time. I started out by making like a spreadsheet of where I needed to get to each day, and it was based around like the towns and the cities. But I kind of just learnt that, like, just like looking at the map, you can kind of get a sense of where you can camp quite safely, like more so out of like the towns and cities.
But, so you did quite a bit of wild camping?
Yeah. I just took it a day at a time, and you couldn't really... Yeah, I found that you can't really plan that much. You just have to take it as it comes.
You take it, sorry, in such a casual way, but that's like, I mean, it's filled me with sheer trepidation and great fear, I think, if I suddenly set off and thought I was going to do that.
But I think that was the thing. I was absolutely terrified before I went, and then I guess I've just done it now, and I was like, oh, actually, it wasn't that scary after all.
Oh, yeah, OK. And so the plan was not just to walk it. You were going to be doing some drawing on the way, or had you, had you tied your hands behind your back and gave up drawing?
I did intend to do drawing, but I didn't draw at all. I was too tired. So I did photography. I think I've got, like, 30,000, like, analogue photographs of the walk. So that was like the main form of like documenting it.
Why analog when digital is so easy? So why do you choose analog?
I like to like play with it and like edit it in the dark room, and I think I'm just more like a tactile person. Whereas
of the drawings you've done quite a lot of. From what I see, you do quite a lot of drawing around urban spaces and places. You're very much interested in sort of landscape and streetscape.
And like quite large scale drawings. It tends to kind of just be a mixture of like just everything. You know, I think it's always about time though. Mostly I'll just like, it's like I'll go for a walk, but it'll be like a set amount of time rather than like a distance. And like that in the past has always been like the case in my drawings. Like I'll just, maybe I'll show up for that drawing for that like set amount of time, and it looks like just an amalgamation of like just things that have kind of come forward on that walk, if that makes sense.
Do you first reach to draw, or do you reach for your camera to take an analogue photograph?
Funnily enough, actually, so I used to reach for my pencil first, and then it was my camera, but now I don't even... Well, I do take a lot of photographs, but it's more like I make notes now, and I write more, and then, like, I'll go back home and I'll sit, and then I suppose, like, those notes will, like, trigger the memory of the walk again. So I'll go back to drawing later now, rather than doing it, like, at that particular time.
Are you selecting the frame, the one shot, as you go along? And with the drawing, are you drawing from the photographs? Yeah, have you got hundreds of notebooks and sketchbooks?
Yeah, I've got a lot of notebooks. With the photographs, I might sometimes do like one, maybe two, if I get carried away. I think it's less so about like that individual photo, but more so like about the how it corresponds to the journey as a whole. So it's more like a sequence. Like, a lot of them are actually quite mundane. But I think that's quite reflective of the walk. And then the drawings were... I'm not sure how to describe my drawings, actually.
And why do you draw? Is that something... Do you know what the driver is for drawing?
I don't know. It's just something that I've always done. It's always come back to drawing, but I'm not sure why.
So tell us a little bit more about the walk. So, you know, did you encounter people on the walk that you wanted to engage with? Or because you mentioned that you linked up with other walking artists. So perhaps you explain that a little bit.
So, like, the original, like, plan for the walk was to connect with, like, walking artists around Britain and, like, explore their local area. So I did connect with a few, but because I was on such, like, a tight time scale, it wasn't always, like, possible.
I mean, you were walking alone.
All the walk I pretty much did alone until I got to, like, where people might live, and then we'll go on, like, a local walk. So I connected with Claudia Zyski, in Edinburgh, and I stayed with her. And then Dee in Glasgow, Dee Hedden, and Phil Smith in, is it Plymouth? And, yeah, they took me on local walks to them.
And how did you feel about suddenly walking with someone else, having walked so long on your own?
It was quite hard. I think it was nice to talk. Yeah, you do feel a bit odd if you don't go for a few days without talking to people.
In a sense, you're perfectly comfortable with your own self.
I'd say too comfortable sometimes, yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about the places you walked. It's easy enough to say, oh, well, I just sort of chose a few towns. But which towns did you choose? And then how did you get from one town to the other?
I tried to touch on, like, all of the counties of, like, Britain. And then, like, I made a spreadsheet of where I needed to get to each day. I had all the paper maps, so I brought all those beforehand. And then just gave it all to my sister to post to me.
I'm going to say you couldn't possibly carry all of those.
No, so each week she'd send me like a parcel to like the post office or a campsite or just where I was passing through. Then literally just like the night before, I'd work out the route to get to like that town or city, and it came back to like basing it on time. So like what route did I have the time to take to get to where I needed to get to? And I used like different walking trails and public footpaths in England, but then that changed in Scotland because you can like roam more freely.
I'm just wondering whether you were, you know, whether you're actually in the wrong century now, because you know, you're taking analog photographs,
yeah,
and you're doing a lot of walking, but you're eschewing, you know, digital mapping and things like that. You could have had the Auden survey map on your phone.
Yeah.
So yeah, what's going on? Are you really a sort of 20th century artist and not a 21st century one?
It feels like it, doesn't it? I think, but like. That's probably what got me into paper maps, though, the drawing, because of practice was based in drawing, and like ordnance survey maps are these paper objects, aren't they? So when I was doing my masters in Glasgow, I started like doing research into paper, so I've always just felt quite nostalgic. Not, I don't know, like I've had like a thing about paper, I suppose, and books, and I don't know, like how they carry the history and they've got that tactileness to them.
Okay, so we got Wolverhampton, Glasgow, Edinburgh and Plymouth. I mean, that's a heck of a stretch anyway. So, you know, of the places you went to, are the places that you want to go and say, wow, I'd love to come back here and explore this area more?
There's loads of places, actually. So, yeah, like every time I spoke, well, pretty much most days, I'd want to stay somewhere. But I always said to my sister, that's why the project, I suppose, is called The Place to Return To. Because you'd have to say, no, I can't stay. I just need to, yeah, keep on going.
Give us a couple of standout ones and tell us why.
Anglesey, probably. Just like looking it on the map, it's got like so many like what look like ancient like sites that I'd wanted to spend like a long time exploring those. And where else? Scotland, in between like Fort William round to Inverness. So the route that I took was like along the Great Glen Way, and I just had like this view of the Highlands, and I was just like, oh, I need to go back there.
Wolverhampton's a bit flat round here, isn't it? So, you're not familiar with climbing mountains. Although you say climbing's another thing you do.
I did want to do some mountain walking when I got to Wales. I came to, like, Caderidris and that kind of area. Like, the rain was just torrential that day, so I went more woodland walking, and that's what I mean about, like... Yeah, I think the walk responded to the landscape as well.
You couldn't avoid the rain, so... how far might you walk in a typical day?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's kind of interesting. So you're not a person who's necessarily taking that kind of notes and sort of making a note, oh, I did...
The mileage.
Yeah, 15 miles a day, or I only did 6 today, or something like that.
No, so, like, I wanted it to just be, like, about, like, the time and get into that place and just, like, how you felt at that and what you could do, rather than, like, the set mileage of it.
And what about the kind of duration? I mean, you know... Walking for a couple of hours, you fall into a sort of mental drift anyway. So what were your thoughts while you were walking? And were you taking in what was around you? Or were you... OK, we've been walking along and I've noticed that you're looking down and not necessarily looking at the sky. Why is that your aspect? Is that your normal way of walking or just because you're conversing with me?
It might be because I'm listening to you, actually.
Yeah?
I'm but a terrible multitasker. But I was just going to say about walking up Ben Nevis, like that experience of like walking up, and like it's completely foggy and you couldn't see anything at the top. But for me, it's like more about like that journey up, and like rather than getting that distance out onto the horizon, like I guess looking more closer inland is maybe something I'm more interested in. But I'm not sure why.
Okay, and so you sort of skirted the coast then, although you did get to Plymouth and you got. Got to other parts on the coast, did you, or not?
I did bits on the coast, yeah. Quite a lot of, like, seaside towns. And yeah, it was interesting, actually, because doing it over a year, it went from, like, being the height of summer and, like, tourism, and then as I slowly made my way down, seeing, like, all these, like, seaside, like, places close down for the winter, and then finishing up in July last year, seeing them, like, reopen again. It's just... It's interesting to, like, I guess, because you're walking for such a long time, you're becoming... Like, you've noticed all these subtle changes over the course of a year.
But you started to see the seasons change as you walked.
Yeah, oh, it was lovely when spring came, yeah, and like seeing like the bits of green and the little shoots, and like then just going into autumn and seeing like the orange, and I guess like less cows in the field as it started to go into winter.
What stage of the walking day were you already thinking about where am I going to get the next sandwich, or where am I going to get somewhere to sleep?
And probably like thinking about sleeping. If I was wild camping, I'd it's kind of changed in the winter. Like I'd have to start planning a bit earlier, but like on your average like summer day, I'd probably start looking for somewhere to wild camp about 4 or 5 o'clock, and then give myself a couple of hours just to find a spot.
Now, as a woman walking alone, I mean, you know, did you find times when you were, you know, terrified or petrified or creepy people that you wanted to avoid?
No, like that was the thing. I didn't really have any bad experiences.
Oh, brilliant. I'm glad about that.
And I was always scared to say that in case I jinxed it towards the end. But no, like, I just found, like, everyone was really nice and helpful. And no, it was a positive experience.
Yeah, so when you get to a town and you're walking through its sort of suburban edge and you're perhaps looking for somewhere to stay the night or something, you had to occasionally ask people if they knew where somewhere was, yeah?
In terms of, like, wild camping?
Yeah, or just wherever you were going.
Or, like, a hostel. Like, yeah. If I was staying in a hostel, I'd probably, like... well, I'd stay in at least 2 a week just so I could get dry and just refresh a bit. But I'd plan that ahead of, like, schedule. I wouldn't think in terms... It was just camping that I took by the day, whereas a hostel, I'd probably book ahead of time.
And did you ever stay more than... Or just a night in one place, or did you?
Yeah, so like, I try and have like one or two rest days a week, depending if I'd got to where I needed to that week, then I could actually like spend time in like a town or a city. Because also I needed something to think about when I was walking for so long on my own. So like, I'd maybe go to like a bookshop or a museum or something. If you're not walking very on your thoughts, you become quite cyclical, and yeah, get a bit sick of your own thoughts. I tried to pick up like books by like women travellers in like bookshops, and ideally like women that were connected to the landscape today and linked to like that particular place.
But then of course you didn't really have much opportunity to read them.
In the evenings, if I was finished walking at like 5 o'clock, well, I tried to read them, like, but normally the book would end up on my face. But it had like, yeah, but like because there wouldn't be much else to do in the evening, I'd just read. So I suppose that would be the tie-in.
What was the sort of snack of choice?
Mackerel. Mackerel and bread. It was my staple diet.
Ah, right.
Yeah. So, like, you can get tins of mackerel, or you can get, like, ready-cooked, and it's just a lot of bread.
So not much greens.
And avocados.
Yeah, avocados are rather good, aren't
yeah,
they?
Avocados yeah, avocados and banana.
You had your sister sending you stuff.
Yeah.
But only maps.
So maps and films, and like I wrote as well on the way, so like my little books.
You didn't get homesick?
It's funny because I felt a lot closer to my sister. I got to speak to her most days because, yeah, I just called her every day. And like, funnily enough, even though I'm closer to home now, I felt closer to my sister at that time. Because like, you're so busy walking all the time and you're always going from one place to the next. You don't really have time to... like get homesick.
Injuries, no bruises, no blisters, no shin splints.
No, everything was good except for when my boots wore out when I got to Great Yarmouth, and I thought I could wear these boots till I got home, and then they became so comfortable I wore sandals for a day walking. That was the only time I got blisters. Apart from that, my feet were, yeah, they were good.
And I mean, you know, we're walking along a tarmac path. This is quite repetitive and hard underfoot.
Mm-hmm.
So did you do rights of way, or what was the kind of route that you took?
I did a mixture. I did like a lot of public footpaths, a lot of canal, a lot of woodland. So like just a variety.
And you didn't sort of end up in places where you found your path was blocked, or that there were sort of large bulls to contend with, or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm quite cautious about cows and bulls, but I don't know, I'd always find like a way around, and if I had to take a cross country, like a countryside road, I might do that.
But you basically avoided walking beside roads?
Busy roads. There were some places where it was inevitable and I had to like do like road walking. So I just had thought of something. There was, I think it was 1 or 2 kilometres of the walk I didn't do, because there was a man in a caravan who insisted that I couldn't walk on this road, and he was like, I'm going to drive you these 2 kilometres.
We still haven't actually really worked out why you did it. Yeah, so why did you, Danny? This is your life. Why did you do it?
Walk for it for a year. So the original reason that I set off was, well, it was asking the question of, like, where are we going since the pandemic? I haven't really got any answers to the question. I don't know. I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, is my work more just a form of, like, documenting and recording, like, Britain at the moment? I'm not too sure what my work's about.
Mm-hmm. And you must have literally hundreds of notebooks, or at least dozens, scores of notebooks.
Yeah, so many.
Can you read your writing since?
I haven't gone back and read it yet. I need to.
You did mention that you'd sort of go to bookshops and try to find things written by women and women travellers, but had you read anyone else who had done a, you know, a journey through Britain? You know, was there anyone that sort of that you read beforehand and you went, this is what I actually really want to do. I want to walk through Britain myself.
I can't even remember where the idea for the walk came from.
But once you'd set your mind to it, you did it.
Yeah, I had to. I don't know why, like, I put in the application to the Arts Council, but I've never really had, like, funding before.
So you got funding for it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I want some of that.
And so I had to do it. But I don't know where the idea, like, came from.
Can you reveal what scale of funding one needs for a 365-day walk when you're camping out?
So, you know, the developing your creative practice. So it was that grant, and that was, it was just under 10,000.
I'm going to say you didn't make a lot of money out of them.
No, I actually used some of my savings as well. Because, well, the cost of living went up as well, didn't it? And, like, food went up in price. But, yeah, I had to really stick to the budget.
And you're broke now, so you've had to go back to work.
Yeah.
I have had those dreams that I'd like to just go off and walk somewhere, but never had the guts or courage to do it. So well done on you.
You should do it. Yeah, the scariest thing is, like, beforehand, I was really scared to set off, but then I think, like, after the first day, I was like, oh, yeah, well, I don't know what I was scared of.
You didn't lose anything on the way? No one robbed you?
No.
No, well, I mean, you know, that's brilliant. I mean, that's fantastic. And you sort of come away with this sort of feeling that actually
people are nice.
Most Brits are nice.
Still to say that 99.9% of people are really nice. I don't know if that's really naive, but
well, I think you speak from experience. I think there aren't going to be that many people who've met people in Great Yarmouth and met people in Plymouth. That's intriguing. You've walked through Britain. What are you going to do? You're going to walk through Germany, or you're going to walk through the States, or?
So I'm going to carry on, like, walking around Britain now. Like, it feels like I've been, like, a sketch of Britain, like, with my body, and so I want to, like, go a bit more, like, spend more time in the places. So at the moment, well, I've got an exhibition coming up next year, so I'm not going to be going off any big adventures. I'll be staying around the area, but I'll want to explore, like, the counties which are close to the West Midlands. So
I'm going to say you still have a few Ordnance Survey squares to complete.
Oh, yeah, loads.
At the moment, what are you working on? Just this exhibition already, or have you been doing something different?
On the exhibition, yeah, and I want to, like, continue walking, so I did the Staffordshire Way this month, and then I'll, on weekends, that's mostly taking place now, so I'll go to, like, the towns in Staffordshire, spend time there, and just do smaller scale walks.
Are you someone who drives to these places, or are you strictly a public transport person?
Public transport and cycles, yeah. And then I started climbing as well, so I can explore the landscape in other ways.
And with your touring, is it just pencil and chalk, or are you?
So mostly pencil. I've started to include pen as well into it now. Tipex, funnily enough, I tried to draw in a way so it, like, blends in with the Ordnance Survey map. Or, like, matches the Ordnance Survey match.
I mean, are you a black and white person? Are you, you know, with your... I didn't ask you, with all your photographs, are they black and white?
They're all black and white. So that was why I'm a resident at Worth last year. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of the Black War and, like, white chalk. So it links back to that, like, black and white photography.
So you draw white on black or black on white? Or do you use colour as well when you're drawing?
White on black. Yeah, hopefully colour will come in one day, but that's why I take pictures in black and white, because I was hoping to, like, colour them with, like, pigments in the landscape. but that just hasn't happened yet. You might do.
Oh, well, that's partly why you're walking along looking to see what colours you might spot.
So. I mean, that's how I always look down.
Okay, so the other thing is I ask people to recommend a couple of walks.
Mm. Well, I like it this morning. It's quite a long walk, actually. I was like, is this too long? But it's based in Dudley. Yeah, it's quite industrial, and it's like it starts at somewhere called Cobb's Engine House, which is like a big like old chimney, and then it goes through the Neverton Tunnel, which I can't remember how many miles. It's a really long tunnel, and then it links up to like the Dudley Canal, and then goes around to the Black Country Museum, and then up to Wren's Nest, which is like a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Comes back onto the canal and then goes back to Cobb's Engine House, and that just feels like a proper Black Country walk, and that's just one of my favourites. I think it's only about 12 kilometres, I could be wrong.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Daniela Turban. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.